If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Psalm 119 has often been called a miniature Bible in itself. Each segment of the psalm begins with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. And when we find that particular discipline, they're called acrotic. All the psalms were written to be sung. And David, being the principal author of these songs, goes with his musical background, playing harps and playing music when he tends the sheep. But there is something about this psalm that resonates in the mind of the student of the Word of God. For this psalm is dedicated to the veracity or the truth of the Word of God. It is dedicated to the Word of God. It is not dedicated to praise and worship. It is not dedicated to a rehearsal of David's experiences of the past. It is dedicated to the Word of God. In verse 18, the request was, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." The problem with that particular request is that it causes us to isolate pleasurable things from the Word of God and to hold on to those things to the point where we forget the fact that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The pleasurable things and the corrective things are all given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration is theos nuspis, means God breathed. God breathed the entire Bible. Does not say, and it does not mean that he agrees with everything everyone does, but it does mean that he put the truth down there. He didn't agree with Solomon's behavior and some components of David's behavior, but it's still true what's written because he breathed. In this psalm, he asks a question. In verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" In Hebrew, Paul does this a lot more than any of the other writers of the New Testament because of his Hebraic training and his upbringing as a member of the Sanhedrin and the Pharisaical understanding of the theology of the Old Testament. Paul would teach by asking questions and then answering those questions immediately after the closing of the question. It was a Hebrew way of teaching. The question was designed to get your mind, and then the answer was given to illuminate your mind. Isaiah does it. Who shall believe our report? And then he answers the people who trust in the arm of the Lord. And throughout the Old Testament, you find a lot of these, we would now call them rhetorical, where the question is presented and the answer is contained in the next statement. So he says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways?" And wherewithal is more of an Elizabethan way of asking how. How does a young man cleanse his way? And now we have to be politically correct and gender specific. So we'd say, how does anyone cleanse their way? He answers, by taking heed according to the word of God. He goes on to say, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Don't let me wander from your commandments, from your word." This is coming from a man who by now has become more settled in his relationship with God. He has gone through a number of things. While he may not highlight them, it is evident that the maturity he brings to Psalm 119 is quite different than some of the other psalms he wrote earlier. For now, he's asking a question that, or asking questions and presenting arguments that have nothing to do with emotional response or logical thinking. He is saying here very simply that throughout this psalm, the Word of God is the anchor for your soul. He is saying that the Word of God is the thing that brings you to stability. No, it is not my intention to preach Psalm 119. It is not my intention to extract many truths from this extremely long, provocative, and informational psalm. It's not my desire. What I want to do is have you understand how powerful the Word of God is. There are many people who say words are not powerful, but that would not be true. Tomorrow is the 3rd of July, 2017. The next day is the 4th of July, 2017. The day after is the 5th of July, 2017. For most of us sitting here, those 3 days mean a long holiday weekend. That our employer was gracious enough to give us Monday off because they know you're not going to do anything on Monday anyway in anticipation of Tuesday, so they just eat the 8 hours and let you have off Monday and Tuesday. And then some will get sick on Tuesday and call out Wednesday to turn it into 5 days to enjoy Ocean City, Wildwood, Maryland, Rehoboth Beach, and all of the other places of recreation. But for the serious student of history, we know that those 3 days speak to one of the greatest battles in the Civil War. It happened just out the Pennsylvania Turnpike, west on the Turnpike, in a little hamlet called Gettysburg, just east of Harrisburg. There at that battle, 55,000 men died over a 3-day battle. There are a myriad of reasons: to secure the Union, to establish individuality, to support states' rights, but not to support slavery, to support states' rights. At the conclusion of this battle, General Robert E. Lee withdraws his troops, heads back down what we would call 95 South, to get back to Virginia. General Meade did not follow him because his troops had been decimated. Abraham Lincoln, so hungry for a battle, so desperate to turn the tide of the war around because the North was losing to those Southern generals, that he travels to Gettysburg to commemorate the cemetery. On the trip to Gettysburg, he writes what's called the Gettysburg Address. There were no speech writers like we have today. There may have been people who suggest things to him, but he wrote it from his heart. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all are created equal. Man, our fathers brought forth. You say words are not powerful? And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Words are not powerful. So, my friends, in spite of the difficulties and frustrations of the moment, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day sons of slaves and the former slaves' owners will sit down at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream. You say words are not important? Get your behind over there and sit down, or I'm going to tear you up. Words are not important. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Words are not important. I call your attention to the fact that there is a word in this Bible given in an exegetical form by the Apostle Paul in his first letter to the Thessalonians. He is attempting to quell the fear of the impending return of the Lord. I can only imagine how Paul felt going from village to village and city to city, promoting the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and trying to get people to turn from their lascivious lifestyles to the way of holiness. I can only imagine the struggle within him as he confronts his people, the Jew, and then tries to win the Gentile with the marvelous message of justification by faith through grace. I can only imagine how he struggled with trying to maintain the sanctity of the law, but involve others in this new thing called grace. I'm sure he's aware of the possibility of people taking the greatness of the law and discarding it because of the beauty of grace. He struggles with the promulgation of holiness that's quite different than Exodus and Leviticus, but he understands that there needs to be an identifiable separation between God's people and the people of the world, but he's just not sure on how to deliver it. I have a group of people who are not churched, who don't know anything about holiness or godliness for that matter, and I'm charged to share with them the beauty of the love of God, bringing them to accountability, but not bondage. Holiness, but not Phariseeism. A sense of separation, but not feeling better than. How do I weave such a beautiful carpet called salvation by grace without making you think that there is no accountability called godliness?
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
7117P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and broadcast television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.